Hare Krishna. Yesterday we had a wonderful kirtana, and I'd put on Kripa Mahaprabhu's talk because I was just talking in Hungarian and I was talking in English. Today I'll give a little English prelude to what our prakrama will be. We're going to Golokapati or Gauravai, which is just near Gokula, behind Gokula, and we'll be staying more or less in one place. Although the weather today is very, very pleasant, it's overcast, and not overcast in any sense that it's going to rain, but there's some cloud cover, and the weather is, the temperature is very comfortable. Yesterday was warm, but it was wasn't hot, but it was sunny, and I think everyone got quite a bit of sun yesterday. And we're having Kripa Mahaprabhu's leading wonderful kirtans. All last night he led kirtan, this morning he led kirtan. And where we're going will be tent set up. And for our talk break, because we're not going to other places, there will also be watermelon, which I'm sure the devotees will greatly appreciate. And the theme of the discussion there is Krishna's return to Vrindavan. Gokulapati is the town where Krishna came when he came back from Kurukshetra. And not exactly directly from Kurukshetra, but that's where he had met the Brijbasis and promised them that he would come back. That meeting took place historically just after Balaram had killed the Dwidwid gorilla. And it was a very wonderful meeting in which Krishna kept his meetings, and especially intimate meetings with the gopis, a secret from everyone else, because the kings of the world were assembled there at that time. So Krishna was very concerned that they not become inimical to the Brijbasis, so he didn't want anyone to see any extraordinary public shows, displays of affection to them. So he would meet them in their, interesting that Mother Yashoda had her own covered cart. The Brijbasis lived in carts. Sometimes if devotees see in Vrindavan, if they go during Gopurnima time, and sometimes at other times for festivals, there'll be some Rajasthani gypsies who come in carts, and that's all they travel in, very, very elaborately decorated carts. So Mother Yashoda, you could imagine, and of course she was royalty, not gypsies, so you could imagine the kind of cart that the Brijbasis had, and especially Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. And so they met there, and Krishna had promised them that yes, he will return. Nonetheless, he still had some demons to kill. And so Nanda Maharaj returned to Vrindavan. He came along the path of the Jamuna, but he didn't go back to Nandagram. He didn't want to return there without Krishna. Rather, he went to an acquaintance of his, a good friend, who was named Maharaj Dan, and who lived in this town that we now call Golokapati. It was renamed after Nanda Maharaj, and he received them there, and they lived there, and they were constantly sending out messengers to find out about what was taking place, what was Krishna doing. Well, what was Krishna doing? Firstly, of course, Maharaj had wanted to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. But before that could take place, Uddhava suggested that Jarasandha continue to pose a real threat. Yudhisthira Maharaj had not conquered the world. Jarasandha was very much still inimical towards the Jadus, Pandavas, Kurus. So he gave the advice that that they should go in the guise of Brahmins, and that Bhima should call Jarasandha out to fight, and he should kill Jarasandha. And with Jarasandha's death, then the sacrifice could take place. So that's what happened. And of course, there was a long battle going on between Bhima and Jarasandha, in which finally Bhima was able to win when Krishna hinted to him that he had to bifurcate Jarasandha. That was the only way that he was going to be able to actually kill him. And thereafter, the Rajasuya sacrifice took place. And after the completion of the Rajasuya sacrifice, in which just a little mention, secondary mention, is very interesting how devotees know that Krishna took this vow about Shishupal, who was a family member, but he was constantly criticizing Shishupal, that only when Shishupal offended Krishna 100 times, only on the 100th offense would he kill him. And Jiva Goswami makes this comment or statement that when Shishupal pronounced his 100th offense to Krishna, Krishna was willing to actually forgive him. But because that 100th offense also contained criticism of Yudhisthira Maharaj, because he blasphemed Yudhisthira Maharaj, so therefore he cut off Shishupal's head. And Krishna was ready to go to Vrindavan at that time. However, news came that Salva had attacked Dwarka with this mystical airplane that he'd gotten as a boon from Lord Shiva. And so, even though Pradyumna had tried to fight, and all the Yadu heroes tried to fight against Shalva, they were unsuccessful. So Krishna came, and he destroyed the airplane, he destroyed Shalva as well. And as soon as he'd done that, then Shalva's good friend, Dantavakra, who had also been worshipping Lord Shiva and received this club, invincible club, and he thought that he was going to be able to kill Krishna with that. So Shalva, Dantavakra, then through Narada Muni, sent this letter to Krishna, challenging him to fight. And so Krishna came. Very, very quickly, as quick as lightning, he came to Mathura, where Dantavakra was waiting at the gates of Mathura, and they had a fight, and finally Krishna killed Shalva and his brother Vidurata, who also foolishly tried to attack Krishna. And at that point, all the demons were dead. All of Krishna's enemies were finished. So it's described that Krishna then laid down his arms and he bathed at Vishramghat, and from Vishramghat he crossed over to the other side of the Jamuna, and because he was told that, well, this is where Nanda Maharaj was. This is where the bridge Brijbasis were waiting for him. And so he went to Gokulapati, and there was a wonderful reception, and so many wonderful events transpired over there. I can't list them all. One of them, one very notable one, was Krishna's marrying the gopis. Jiva Goswami describes this in great detail in Gopal Champu. One very interesting incident, which I'm going to ask Kumar Prabhu to speak on, is that when Krishna returned, then Yogamaya revealed to the Brijbasis that actually the gopis who were married had never really married, because some of the gopis, like Danya, they never married. But others like Srimati Radharani and Chandravali and so on, they all married. She said, she revealed that actually they never really married, because they had taken a vow to just have Krishna as their only husband. So Yogamaya had actually created exact doubles of them, and when these exact doubles who lived with their husbands, and the other gopis were always absorbed in associating Krishna and thoughts of Krishna. Well, it wasn't thoughts of Krishna that they were absorbed in. That absorption was where they really were. And in order to prove this, then Yogamaya then assembled both groups of gopis, and they looked identical: two Radharanis, two Chandravaris, two Lalitas, two Vishakas. And one group was on one side, one group was on the other. So she said, well, the copies who had always been with their husbands and married to their husbands, then they can go back to their husbands. And the other ones, they can go to their parents' homes. And there's no obstruction to now them being married to Krishna. The only possible problem could be, one could say, is that there's two pairs of identical-looking girls in Vrindavan now. But no one objected to that. But the gopis weren't satisfied by this, although everyone else was. They thought, no, people will still doubt our faithfulness and chastity to Krishna. They said, so we took an oath some time back, and we took that oath that if ever in deed, in word, or even in thought, we ever strayed from Krishna being our one and only shelter, then we shall walk through fire. So they said, we want to walk through fire to prove this. And just to make a wonderful story short, that's what did take place. The gopis walked through fire, obviously, unscathed. And then there was a wonderful marriage ceremony. And the conclusion of Krishna's visit to Gokulapati was that he expanded himself, or in different forms, he did the different things. In one form, he went back to Godhead and took all of the sadhakas who were present in the body of Krishna's eternal associates to the spiritual world. In another body, along with Dwarka, he returned back to Dwarka. And in another body, he remained in his unmanifest form in Vrindavan. But Krishna has to go back to Vrindavan forest and there enjoy the Parakya Ras that he enjoyed earlier with the gopis. And so that's what took place. And also Krishna's eternal associates, they also manifest in Vrindavan in their also unmanifest forms. Hare Krishna.